Welcome to the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Sardo, and this is season 3, episode 4. What is today's date? We are Monday, May 31st, and normally record the podcast on Sunday nights, but with the holidays and the special occasion of our Kickstarter ending tonight, I wanted to record after the Kickstarter ended. There was also Mayor of Easttown had their season finale last night, so there was a lot of things I wanted to talk to you about with that. If you're new to the podcast, this is kind of more of my confessional, and we kind of talk a little bit about stuff going on behind the scenes of Monkeys Fighting Robots and in my personal life. We talk about comic books, of course. That's always going on. We talk about disc golf. But the past year has been kind of crazy. And I just need to talk about it because it's been bonkers that I've been kind of in a void, spewing stuff to the internet and not really interacting with a lot of people. And what I want to do is I want to interact with you. And I'm really excited that we are up to 28 listeners on this podcast, because every one of you guys are important to me. And this is going to be like a niche conversation. I'm not looking to have a following of a million people and be a talking head of all the similar things that you hear over and over again. I need you as much as you need to listen to this. I probably need you guys more because it is tough running an internet business, publishing comic books. We're eventually going to be starting a convention next year. I mean, all these things you kind of do, and you're kind of doing it on your own, and comic books is a thankless business. I mean, it's not thankless, but like, it's, you do it because you love it. You don't do it because you're looking for fame and fortune. I mean, 99% of the people in the comic book industry are not looking for fame and fortune. I mean, there's a few, but like, that's not the point. The point is, like, some people have to create comic books. Some people have to talk about comic books. Some people have to, you know, own a comic book store or run conventions and be part of the industry. And that's where I am. I just have to be part of this industry because I think this industry is so amazing. And that's why we started the comic strip, started the magazine, and we would have started the convention, but COVID shut that down. And today is a great day because our Kickstarter campaign closed out at 10 p.m. tonight, and we had 131 backers, and we are 759% funded, and we reached more than a few stretch goals. This issue is going to be 44 pages long. It is bonkers. Like, I can't wait to put this thing together. I mean, we put it together, send it off to a printer, and then get it back and hold it in my hands. I think that's going to be an amazing day. And I'm like so excited to hold this book because each issue is a learning experience. Each issue I've learned something from the previous issue. So now that I've published 1, 2, 3 comic books, and this will be the third, and then 2 magazines. So I'm at the 5th book that I've published. And now I have 6 books published, and I've collaborated with tons of people to make all of this happen. They're only going to get better, and I'm only going to learn from these experiences. And I learned from my previous three Kickstarters, and we had a bounce back from our previous Kickstarter. So we had an increase of backers in this one. And this is all through just talking through people on the internet. I can't wait till we start doing conventions and I start shaking hands and kissing babies, because that's actually what I'm really good at. Like, shouting at you from the internet is tough, and it's a grind, and you feel really plastic asking people to buy your product or buy your passion project. And it turns your passion project kind of against you, because you're like, oh, this is not why I created this. I didn't. But this right here is also what's amazing is that, you know, I can connect with 131 people throughout the world. I can send them my books. I can send, you know, a few of these books are going to comic book stores. And that's amazing because it'll expand from there. And these are things that you didn't have 20 years ago, I think. I mean, you definitely didn't have them in the 80s and 90s. But now that it's become easier to print books, digital printing has changed the game with that. And then, you know, you got Kickstarter to fund it. Like, we don't have to look for an astronomical amount to publish these magazines. I mean, one thing I'm good at is keeping costs down. And that's been the focus, is like, okay, how can we make this on the most efficiently as possible so that we're not charging you an arm and a leg? And we can also use the excess funds to keep the website up and running, or, you know, pay writers, or, you know, pay the cover artist and other aspects of running this Kickstarter or publishing in general. So today was a good day. Today, I mean, the month was a good month. So, like, we launched it May 1st. You know, we had a free comic book day to go to and talk to people, that would have been a boost. So I can't wait till next year. I can't wait till our next Kickstarter in the fall for the winter issue. You know, because I think I've learned the appropriate way to talk to people on the internet and not sound like a used car salesman. And that's what I want to do, is I just want to be like, hey guys, this is a project I'm working on. If you are interested, you know, grab a copy or not, or, you know, whatever. It's so weird. You know, because I'm trying to do something here. I mean, like, this magazine isn't all me. There's a collective of 20 plus people behind it, from artists to creators to writers and every editors and everybody helping put it together. But, like, I'm the face of the company, so I have to, like, lead the march to make this happen. But yeah, it's fun. It's annoying. It's exhilarating. It's depressing. Like, it's a whole roller coaster of excitement. And you know, today is a good day, because then I, like, get to shut it down and just talk to you for a little bit and kind of just open up about those feelings. And because there's so many different emotional highs and lows with this. And the middle weeks are really tough, because you feel like we're a startup. I know that Monkeys Fund Robots have been around for 6 years, but, like, we're still a startup in the publishing game. So to get to 100 backers is huge. And that's all we ever really need, is 100 backers. If I'm selling 100 copies of a magazine to a group of people, I feel like we can keep it successful. We want to grow that number, but, like, you know, last week when I talked to you guys last week, I think we were struggling to get that 100. Then we got to 100, and then we got to 110, and then we got to 114, which was our previous Kickstarter, and then we got to 120, and then we got to 130, and then we got to 131, and so I feel like that's a good growth. When we did the first issue, we had 220 backers, and, like, we really went bonkers with that. But, like, now to sustain an audience for the, you know, issues going on, I feel like we're doing well. You know, we had a little dip, now we went back up. So, okay, let's hit a few conventions, hit a few stores after this, and do some signings and shake hands and kiss babies, and, like, okay, let's grow the base. And that's the plan, is to grow the base. And I'm glad that our base is 100 people, and we can build from there. I think that's a good base to start with. I think if you're publishing anything, you know, if you're an indie publisher, if you can sell 100 comic books each issue, I mean, that's really good as an indie publisher. And then you do conventions, and then you sell more. But, like, if you have a base that will buy 100 copies of your book, no matter what, that is solid. So I'm really excited that we got to this. We're consistently at this 100 base, and we can try to grow from there. And I'll see how that goes. And again, that's kind of like what I'm talking about the podcast. This is, I have a very niche podcast. you know, random guy who runs a website talking about his feelings and the ups and downs of Kickstarters and running a website and launching a convention and then like disc golf and comic books and other things, you know, the random shit of my day. So I do appreciate all of you guys that are listening and, you know, definitely let me know what you're doing. That would be awesome if I knew what you were doing and who I'm talking to, and we can kind of move that conversation a little farther ahead, you know, like, cause if you're into disc golf, that's awesome. Tell me what courses you're playing. If you, you know, you read comic books, tell me what books you're listening to. If you're watching, you know, Netflix or streaming stuff, like, cause that's kind of where I am right now. Unless there's something that hits Warner Brothers or, you know, somewhere else, I can stream on demand. I will talk about that because I'm not ready to go to a movie theater yet. There's no way. I've had friends that do it. I have a feeling the first time I go back to a movie theater, I'm going to rent it out and it's going to be mine and we'll watch something old. But I don't think I'm ready to go to a movie theater yet. But speaking of disc golf, I went to the quarry this weekend on Saturday morning, got up bright and early. Drove about an hour north of Tampa. And this golf course is on an old quarry. So there's like some wicked elevation and hills and crazy shit going on in there. Oh my gatos. This place was awesome. I loved it. I'm, you know, about a year into disc golf, probably like 11 months. So I'm starting to get a little bit better. I'm still in like the recreational stage, hoping to by the end of this year get into the intermediate stage once I kind of figure out if my disc and I get on the same page and we can make music. But so we played the shorts at the quarry and it was, number one, it was gorgeous. If you go to my like Instagram, I think I posted a picture on Instagram or maybe on Twitter. I can't remember what I did, but I'll try to do both. So you can follow me. If you don't follow me, just like, you can follow me. It's fine. But like, that's where I kind of put stuff. I put stuff on. My Instagram is a little bit more family and disc golf centric. And Twitter is more sports and comic books, I guess. I think. And then Facebook is, I don't know what to do with Facebook. But the quarry, we played the shorts and I rocked it. And there were still a couple 400 foot holes that was able to crush. So it was nice playing like short holes that had some, you know, movement to them, because my short game is awkward. Like, I don't know what to do between 200 feet and 100 feet, like that distance, or 100 feet to 200 feet. I know what to do over 200 feet and just throw the disc. And I know what to do under 100 feet. You know, I kind of lay up or putt or one of those things. But it's that like distance between 100 and 200 feet, and that is kind of tough and hard for me to kind of dial in what these discs do. And if you are a disc golfer, please give me some suggestions and I would love to talk to you about disc golf. But I'm starting to figure out a few of my discs. I use the zone a lot for that 150 to 200. I have a pig that I haven't quite figured out yet. The EMAC Judge, I'm starting to figure out that it's more of a straighter disc and doesn't want to fade as much. And, you know, I have a Buzz that's broken in and it sometimes loves me and sometimes doesn't love me. So that's kind of where I am. I got this, like, where I am, the zone, the Buzz, the pig, my EMAC Judge. So yeah. Oh yeah. And then I got drunken and on Friday night, maybe. I mean, it's a holiday weekend, so I was kind of drunk. I mean, that's what we do. I drink, I write, I drink, I eat, I drink, I watch. That's what you do. Your kids stress you out, man. I got three kids. Two of them are twins. They're crazy. They're all plotting against me. They tried to drown me in the pool all day long. But yeah, Joe Mespro had a t-shirt that they were selling this weekend that I got. Pappy's Elixir for Pappy Sexton. And that was kind of cool. I'll definitely share that on social media when I get that. But yeah, it was super nice. There was clouds. It hasn't been cloudy in Florida for a very long time. And we might got a few drizzle draggles down here in St. Pete. So it was really nice to go to the disc golf course, have some big sky country with clouds and some good clouds and some nice blue sky. And it was hot. It was definitely hot. This was like the first weekend of Florida where I get done doing stuff. And even today too, like I'm radiating the heat that I absorbed. I had taken it in and now it wants to come out. 10 o'clock at night, it's like, oh my God, I have to radiate so much heat. So much heat coming out of the body. But yeah, it's been a fun weekend with the family. Disc golf, the Kickstarter. Went to some crazy sunflower forest as well. It was bonkers. And we did a sunflower maze. I guess people do it. We survived. We had fun. It's a learning thing. Maybe the twins might not remember. Alice probably remember, but like we survived a sunflower maze. And these sunflowers are like 16 feet tall and they were shading the whole entire thing. So like you kind of had to travel the maze and figure it out on your own. But we survived. My wife, my mother-in-law. It was a good time. We made it. I'm drinking my Dewars right now to celebrate our Kickstarter win. Oh, Jesus Christ. Mayor of Easttown. That happened. The season finale. HBO Max didn't work for like 25 minutes. I was like, what the fuck? Jesus Christ. What are you doing to me, man? I was texting Manny. And we were going back and forth. And then he figured out how to get his through Hulu. I reset my HBO Max. I like deleted the app and installed it again on my Apple TV. And then they're like, what's your login details? And I type them in. And they're like, these are incorrect. And I was like, fuck, I'm fucked. I'm so fucked. Jesus Christ. But 25 minutes later, it did kick in. And I saw Mayor of Easttown. And I liked where they went with it. If you haven't seen it yet, like, I'm not going to spoil it for you. No, but I did read, somebody had a good headline. Is the murder mystery is okay. Like, it's fine. It's a good murder mystery. Like, I kept me thinking the whole time. But you just enjoy being in the world of Easttown and hanging out with Mayor and her dysfunction and her heartache and her, you know, like, it's a tough series. It's a tough series. Like, they deal with some serious shit. I told my wife afterwards, I was like, hey, you can watch this now. And she's like, why? And I was like, well, they didn't kill any kids. I mean, they kind of killed a kid, but they didn't kill any little kids because the way it was going for a little bit, it like had a darkness to it, like a true detective darkness to it. And I was like, fuck, if they kill a little kid, I might have to walk away from this. But they didn't. Spoiler alert, they didn't. But like, it's more of the journey with Mayor and hanging out with Mayor and her friends. It's a very blue collar show. And it's very enjoyable. Like, you just kind of like, you get it. Like, Mayor's good, but she's also broken and she's not good at everything. So you just kind of like, it was a good ride. And then I felt like they left Mayor in a good place afterwards. So like, it's one of the more, I don't know, more uplifting shows I've watched in a while. Because usually it's just bad people doing bad shit to people. And you're like, God damn it. Why am I watching this show? It's like, oh, it's trendy. Everybody else is watching it. But like, you can kind of get behind Mayor and you're hoping for things to work out. And that's a kind of a different thing that's going on in the world. What ruined the show for me was it was on, like, I just left it on because I was just like, sitting there like absorbing it, and then the behind the scenes kicked in. And Kate Winslet is, they had a whole thing on the dialect of, you know, the Pennsylvania area and stuff. And it was funny when they said, you know, you got to say water. And that's how I say water. And I was like, that's like one of the only like Northeastern things I say, like, is water. And so I heard that and I was cracking up. But like all these British actors started chiming in on the accent. And I was like, wait a second. I just enjoyed a journey with you guys. And you were very blue collar, very, you know, Pennsylvania-ish. And then you start busting out the British accent, you all look prim and proper, and everybody's like, and I was like, damn it, I should have just stopped it as soon as they started yipping and yammering with a British accent, because it just took me out of the moment that I was in. I almost needed to rewind it and watch it again and then stop it so that I could like end scene. Because I don't need, it's funny, because I'm actually talking about a podcast right now where I reveal the details of working in Monkeys Fighting Robots, where the behind the scenes, the Kickstarter behind the scenes, the website behind the scenes, but, you know. But the thing I hate is the behind the scenes of Murfreestown. This is why this podcast is mainly just for me. Because I listen to myself talk and I'm like, you're crazy. Like, you are totally crazy. Because you're just all over the place. But I don't want to see another season of Mayor of Easttown. I mean, I'll watch it. But I think they ended in a place where I'm like, okay, this is a nice limited series. You did some good stuff. Let's explore other characters. But don't give me another one, because I think that's where you start, like, beating a dead horse. I don't know what murder mystery you're going to do again. And then you could kind of, like, ruin what was already there. Because you're like, ah, shit. But you can't really. I mean, like, I enjoy myself. Oh, shit. What else do I have to tell you? Jamie Jones, the artist on Tales of Monkeys, Fighting Robots. He has a Twitch. He's doing Twitch. He's live streaming Twitch. How do you say it? He's live streaming Twitch for you guys. And for me, it's fun. I get to watch it. And so he draws, like, Tales of Monkeys, Robots on Monday. He has a whole schedule out. So I would look for him on there. And check it out, because he moved to Savannah and we're getting back together, getting the band back together. And so I think he's already worked on like 5 pages of Tales of Monkeys and Robots. I will share those on the Patreon page and we'll talk about those more later on. But Jamie is an amazing person and he draws some amazing work and he's really easy to talk to about comic books and he has some amazing opinions about comic books. He will be on this show shortly. Like, soon he will be on the show. So go check out his like Twitch stream. He's on Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all these other things. But like his new thing right now is establishing his Twitch channel so that he can draw Tales of Monkeys for Robots, the baboon strip that he's working on. And then he has like a fancy party on Fridays where he draws fancy people. And I'm sure that'll change up. And then he has random drawings going on from there. But definitely check out his Twitch stream. Art of Jamie Jones is like all his handles. So I'm assuming that's what it is right there if you go to Twitch. But definitely check it out. It's enjoyable. I usually check in and we kind of chat about our comic book while we're in there as well. So definitely check that out. And I've said that. I said definitely check that out like 22 times. So check it out. I keep waiting for you to come back and be like, yeah, sure, that sounds awesome. I can't wait. I like Jamie Jones' work. Like, I keep waiting for you to respond, but you're not. But like, so I need to just stop saying certain things again. And then. My one buddy does that to me all the time. And that's just pure chaos. And then. And I'm like, if you do that one more time, he's like, and then. And you start getting mad. It goes through the and then. Image Comics sent me a few books. And I'm going to be interviewing a few people about their comic books. Vinyl. I'm trying to find the details on Vinyl, but Vinyl Ding, ding, ding. It was a good book. And I will have a review up there. And then, no, stop saying and then. And then. Go to monkeyswriterrobots.com. Compass. So Compass was fun. Compass is a good book. I gave it like a 4.3 out of 5 stars. Compass comes out on June 16th, and it's a 1 of 5. And it's an Indiana Jones-esque adventure story, but from an Islamic point of view. When I read it, I was like, oh, this is really awesome. This is pretty amazing. I like what they're doing, and I like how the point of view. And if I read, like, actually, like, what they were putting out about the comic book, I would have known, like, oh, that's what they're doing on purpose. But for me, I kind of read it. I usually try to read comic books without reading the sales pitch or the, you know, the little blurb about the book or what's going on. Like, I try to go in fresh with the first issue. And the way it starts off, like, it kind of feels like a Robin Nightwing book. It has a female lead. I will butcher her name. Shaida El Yaman. So Shah. So I'm going to go with Shah as a short, or yeah, Shah or Mrs. S. I don't know. Shah. And they start off with, like, she's a scholar, cardiographer, astronomer, mathematician, scientist, explorer, adventurer, and when need to be, two-fisted fighter. So when I'm reading this, she's kind of got a hood on, she's jumping around, she's got a staff, and I was like, oh man, this is really like Indiana Jones, Nightwing, Robin stuff going on there. And I'm like, I love this so much. And then, like, it kind of gets a little bit like, oh, she kind of, her personality kind of comes out, and the character comes out, and you're like, oh, I like this character too. And, like, it just kind of, and the way it kind of opens up throughout the pages, I felt like it was kind of like a funnel where you're like, you go through the first few pages and it's very narrow, and then it slowly opens up as you get to the end of the book and you're like, oh my God, there's this huge world now. And that was really cool. Robert McKenzie and David Walker are the writers on it, and Justin Greenwood is the artist on it. And Justin has a very Chuck Jones style to his artwork. So the eyes and the smile are just, like, perfect and mesmerizing. And, like, the book feels good. Like, it's one of those books where you're like, you read it and you're like, oh, it feels familiar. It has a pleasant look to it, has pleasant colors to it. And you're like, okay, I just want to go on this ride for 5 issues. And I will. I will see how it goes and go from there. Shai? I think that's how. Yes. Shaida. Like, it's, that's her name. But, like, it looks like they talk about it later where she's Shai. And I'm hoping I'm not butchering that, but I think that's what's going. But my review is on monkeyswriterrobots.com. I think it's like the 3rd or 4th review now, The Compass. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. And I'm going to try to do more first issue reviews from indie books, because I think that's the key. And also, it helps me as a writer. Comic book writer, like, look at how people set up their books, because where this book ends, you're like, oh shit, I need the second issue, like, right now, because, like, I need more details on the universe, and plus where they left off, I'm like, fuck, like, shit. So where, like, this book made me, like, feel good and comfortable, Vinyl is fucked up, but it's, like, fucked up with, like, bright colors and an interesting artwork style. My review is not up yet. I'm going to actually interview some of the writer and the artist on it. And it is bonkers. So I guess it's like they're, they say it's an unsettling tale of psychopath, sweet love, and serial killer named Walter. When Walter's best friend, the FBI agent charged with his capture, is kidnapped by a death cult of all female sunflower farmers, Hence, I went to a sunflower farm this past weekend. Walter finds himself deep within an underground labyrinth filled with secrets and monsters, but are their monsters more horrific than he is? What the fuck are going on here? So, vinyl is good. And so, Doug Wagner and Daniel Hilliard, I'm going to talk to them. And it's good. The book is bonkers. And it's the bright colors of the book that just like freak me out. It has like clockwork orange-esque feelings to it with like a little Pulp Fiction and then, you know, serial killers. Like if they made like, if there was an animated TV show about serial killers, this is what vinyl would be. So, when does it come out? It comes out on June 23rd. So I think you still have time to tell your comic book store to order it for you. So that's what I would do. I would order that book. I don't know if it's a limited series. It doesn't have this in the listing or not. But I'm definitely in the ride for the first story arc to see how it goes. So I would definitely check it out. So that's where I am with that. I'm thinking about starting to read the Nick Spencer run on Spider-Man and kind of talking about that there. So if you want me to do that, let me know. I'll probably do like a little chunk here and there and talk about Spider-Man. I'm trying to think of what else, other comic book stuff that I'm coming on. But I'm going to definitely try to talk more. It's going to be the things I like. So I hardly talk about books that I don't like, because I feel like that's not needed anymore in the world. So there's enough other people out there being like, oh, this book sucked, or whatever sucked. You know, like, no, like, you know what I really like? I like this book. And I'm going to tell you why I liked it. And I'm hoping that I will inspire you to read the book or check it out or flip through it or follow an artist or go from there. So that's where I'm going to go with that one. But yeah, this was a fun 3-day weekend of chaos with the Kickstarter, family, disc golf, comic books. And I'm dead tired. I'm so tired after this weekend. And I'm with this, you know, but Tuesday's here. And kids are going to want to play and do crazy things. So I'm gonna power through it. I have a golf tournament or disc golf tournament this weekend on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm going to play four courses or four rounds over the 3 days. And I will definitely let you know how that goes. I'm sure there'll be some good days, some bad days, and some in-between days. But I'm hoping that I pull together at least like one good hot round and I go from there. But it's going to be a long week of putting, trying to put like 100 putts a day. I have a putter, I have a basket in my backyard. So that's a plan. And then we have Kickstarter editing. We have, what else? I got some books to mail out to people. I got some more reviews and yeah, we got a lot of good stuff. So, you know, it's going to be a busy, fun week. And then next Sunday, I'm going to talk to you and we're going to have a good time. I'm going to recap all that fun stuff. We'll go from there. So I'm Matt Sardo. This is Monkeys Fighting Robots. You have survived the apocalypse and you're listening to this. So I love you and we'll talk soon.